we learned that the eagle is the rare bird in the respect that that when they carry their young, that they don't carry their young with their claws or with their beak, but that they carry their young on their back. They learned in the Bible that this is where God has instructed us from, but he has to remind the children of Israel about his power. If you look at the text, it almost, when I read it from the Hebrew, it almost carries a sense of humbling for God that the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army, God raining down manna from heaven, giving them water from out of the rock, all of these miracles and all of these victories that they experienced, and most recently their victories over the Amalekites when Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses as he prayed, as long as his arms was up, Joshua, whenever his arms got tired, when his arms got tired of his arms fell, then the Amalekites would be victorious. And so after the conquest of the Amalekites, God brought them to the mountain, to Mount Sinai. And this was a journey that was about 3 months long from the time they left Egypt to the time they get to Mount Sinai, to where they would learn to worship. You know what I'm saying? 3 months of learning how to trust in God. God put his power on display to help them learn how to trust him. And so when we experience victories over hardship, it is because God, not that we did it on our own, but because the Bible reminds us that God carries us through the things that we can't carry ourselves through. Carries us. And so God comes to a point to where he has to remind us, don't get big-headed and arrogant and self-proud that you think you've gotten to where you are by yourself. God says, let me remind you how you got to where you are. You didn't know how. You didn't know when. You didn't know where. You didn't know what. But because of what you didn't know and what God knows, God prepared a way, and then watch this, he carried us, and it says he brought us to him. So we got to stop saying, I found the Lord. No, he wasn't lost. I found Jesus. When was he ever lost that you had to go find him? The Bible tells us that we were lost. And he left the 90 and the 9 to come and find us.
Yeah.
And then the Bible says he then carried us on his back and took us back to safety. We ain't do it. We ain't do it. That's what we need to understand. We didn't get here on our own. It was God. And so when God calls Moses up to this mountain to go have this experience, to go find out, as he declared to him, I bore you on this eagle's wings, you'll find. Now let's turn, if you would, and we talked about the aspects of the eagle wing, and I want to talk about some other things that he said. So he talks about two concepts when he deals with this metaphor of how he bought us to himself. I bore you on eagle's wings. So here's the aspect. Number one, he talks about his deliverance. I bore you. I carry you. I picked you up and I delivered you. You didn't deliver yourself. You were lost in sin. And I came and delivered you. So it speaks of his deliverance, and then the second thing that it speaks of create a fellowship with them, a relationship with them. He wanted them to get to know him. God says, I need you to understand me to be more than just your deliverer. I need you to understand who I am first and foremost as your God. Because I have determined that you are going to be a nation of kings and priests. Determine that for you. And so in order for you to fulfill your role as king and priest, you got to get to know me. But the realization is we really don't know God. We don't. Our relationship suggests we know of him. Jacob knew me. But you don't know me yet. You know of me through him. Because when God introduced himself, he said, tell them I am the God of their fathers. So my relationship wasn't really with you yet. My relationship was with them. But now I brought you to a place to where I want you to get to know me for yourself. So he brings us to this mountain. And we were to stay there and dwell with him. So what is God saying right here? That he did not deliver us for the sake of living apart from him. He delivered us for the purpose of us living with him, in him, for him. Because he said, I delivered you for me. How do you know that? Because the rest of it, look at what he says in this next part of this promise. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. That's that if-then clause. Because we remember we learned in the Old Testament when God established a covenant with us, it was based on our ability to live up to our part. You will obey my voice and keep my commandments. So we have a part to do. If you do this, then I will. That's what he said. And then therefore, look what he says, for all the earth is mine. Now, he's declaring we belong to him. And because we belong to him, he has every right to determine what we should be for him. Kings and priests and a holy nation. And he told us, this is the word he shall speak to them, right? Turn with me now. I want you to look at Deuteronomy. I'm going to start. So let's backtrack a little bit. We'll start with verse 6. The one we just read, God gave the people a reminder of his care for us. That is, it was him that has been taking care of us. I want you to look at 6. He says, do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he, Father, that has brought thee? Has he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Thy elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, and he set the bounds of people according to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion, is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about and he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. In other words, they are reminding us that it was God who did it for us, God all by himself, and he didn't have help from anybody. There were no strange gods who needed. And Hathi and Isis, Osiris, and there were no gods helping him do what he did. The Bible declares he did it all by himself. And if he didn't have some help from some strange god, that means somebody who exalts himself above him, that strange god could be you. If we are not careful to give God the glory he deserves for the accomplishments we have in our life, then we are trying to say that he had help from some strange god. Because the Bible tells us whatever we put before him is idolatry. He has made that our god. And there are times we put us before him. You don't have to say, man, I know I'm right about that one. We put our agenda before his agenda. We tell God, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. So when we do that, we have made ourselves God. Say, don't lean to your understanding. Then God said, seek me first and follow my will and obey my commandments and heed my voice. He didn't say, I'm going to listen to you and do what you said. I'm going to hear you. But when you pray, your prayers are designed to remind you of my will for you. He says it was God who did all that. Look at what he points out. When God decided to exalt Jacob, Jacob ain't had nothing. Yeah, I forgot to use that way. Remember the days of old, consider the years, many generations. Ask your fathers, and they will show you. Ask the elders, they will all tell you. And when the Most High divided the nation, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children. For the Lord's portion is his people. He gave you this. He gave us this. He gave them that. But then out of everything that he gave out, he said, now keep in mind, all of it is mine. It all belongs to me. I'm just letting you, watch this. I'm trusting you with what's mine. I know you got a house, and I know you got a car, and I know you got a nice plot of land, and you're sitting on an acre or whatever it is, your house is. But God says, I let you have that, but really, that's right. He said it's mine. So let's look. Right. What if, look at verse number 10. I want you to read that. He found him in a desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him out. He instructed him. He led him. and he instructed him. And when God does that, he leads by and teaches us by example. Wait. Be ye holy, because I'm holy. If you abide in me, so all of this is contingent upon being connected with him. We didn't get it on our own. In fact, when he found us, we weren't by much. Was in and let me say, he was in a wilderness, a waste, howling wilderness. He was so far away from God that it was nothing out. In our lives, there have been times we have been so far away from God that it was nothing out there. And not just connecting in the sense of sin. We have had some darkness, some wildernesses in our life that we were out there and could not see anything productive out of. Stuff we went through, we were trying to figure out what's good. I hear what God says, all things work together, but what good could possibly, anybody ever ask the Lord that? Or do I have to finish it? What good could possibly come out of this mess? Anybody ever ask the Lord why? I have. Maybe your faith has been that strong. Maybe your faith has never been shaken to where you wanted to know why. Why this? Why me? Why now? Why ever? Do I have a witness in here? Don't always think that your wilderness experiences are sin-related. They were in the wilderness because God led them into that wilderness. But they needed the wilderness to discover that all they needed was God. And when God puts us in the wilderness, he is putting us in a place for us to learn, to discover, to find out for ourselves. He's all I need. When we're in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest. You gotta understand, there are times to where the eagle has to make it uncomfortable whose nests are thick and thorn. Again, the foundation of an eagle's nest are sticks and thorns. Nothing really comfortable about that. But when the eagle goes up to have its young, you remember we talked about how it goes through rebirth and it plucks off its feathers? Well, when it plucks off its feathers, it also lines the nest with her old feathers. Mm-hmm. And then she has her young, and now her young can rest on a pillow of feathers. But as the bird starts to grow, fanning away some of the feathers, so she stirs the nest so that the baby birds are uncomfortable. Watch this. Then she puts them on her back and shows them how to fly. Somebody, this is going to bless somebody in a minute. She carries them on her back and shows them. And then it comes a time, the Bible is showing us through this example, that she stands enough of them feathers that the heavier they get, they're not comfortable on them sticks and thorns sitting there. At some point, the Bible is showing us in this example, the mother bird then kicks the bird off the nest. But the bird is perched high enough that before it hits the bottom, it will figure out. That's somebody. I'm trying to help you here. It will figure out how to fly. When God told Moses, stop praying, get up off your knees and start moving, God is saying, I've kept you stuck long enough. I've thought enough enemies for you. Now it's time for you to land and fight for yourself. So he serves the man. But the Bible says, but he carried us first. But when he first met him, he says, remember the days of old. You got enough stuff stored in there. Remember the days of old. Talk to your ancestors. Talk to the people that came before you. Things God did to you, he did to them. Let's be honest, the same thing you did to your children, the same thing mama did to you. Long enough. Now it's time for you to learn how to fly. But I've set you up already. I promise you, you gonna fly. Now the eagle purchased her nest far up to where most of the enemies of the eagle can't do them any harm. That's how high up it is. So the mama protects the baby with altitude, hover over the nest, and fly close enough to keep them covered and protected. Yeah. Yeah. God takes care of them. As the eagle stirs up its nest, covers over its young. The Lord alone led them. And there was no foreign God with him. He made him rise in the height of the earth that he might eat the produce of the field. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk from the flock and the fat of the lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goat, swine, the blood of grapes. You started off poor. And now you experience luxuries of life. You might be saying, I'm not rich. You still enjoy the luxuries of life. You lay in there, we eat that stuff all the time. Milk, butter, cheese, wine. The choicest of wheat. I remember when we were young, there was only one kind of bread you bought. Only one bread, it was white. And then it all of a sudden migrated. Oh my God, we discovered the wheat bread. Now you go to the grocery store, you got white bread, wheat bread, pumpernickel bread, rye bread, every pepita bread. You name every kind of bread, keto bread, every kind of bread that there is now. Choice. We love that one, don't we? Hawaiian bread. Times in life, we didn't have choices of what we ate. Because if God has carried us, God has bought us, we didn't even realize. Look at the little stuff you took for granted. What about the old days when you had to eat beans and something every day? no rice. Sometimes there was no cornbread. You just had the beans. A little salt pork or something in there. You get what I'm saying? Things have come a long way. We complain about how expensive the price of the groceries are. But aren't we glad we can afford some groceries? That he has done this, remember how he has taken care of us. God, and here's the thing. God has to constantly remind us of what he has done for us. Why? Because we get arrogant. We start complaining. What did the kids say? What did the children of Israel say? Why do we have to eat this same bread every day? Delicacy, quail. Number one, you're on the go. God has enough sense for how to feed you to give you the energy you needed for this journey you want. Let's look, let's keep going. So, God is basically, okay, so let's go back now. I want you to go ahead and turn back to, all of the stuff he has done for them. Remember how I did this, how I brought you out, how I carried you with eagle's wings and all of the stuff that he said. And God then reveals to them his plan for them. That's what happens here. When you see that he says, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And a holy nation. So, this is what basically that God is saying. I am going to make you a nation that represents me. You are the representation of me on earth. I am going to make you on earth what I am in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But when God made man, he made him in the image and likeness of himself, holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And what was the role of the priest? The priest was to be a mediator between God and man. What was the role of the priest? The priest was to be a mediator between God and man, meaning that of another. And God says, I'm making you a priest, which means that you are to be the vehicle that connects someone with me. That's what he calls us to be. That's what he means by making a priest. This is what we're all supposed to be. Didn't say, I'm going to make you all preachers. Connect man with God. Right? So the whole nation wants to act as these mediators, as these examples of the grace of God on display. That's what we are called to be. And look. So I want you to see this. Remember, there's one more I want to share with you. Hold on a second. I want you to see one more. 1 Peter chapter 2. I know I told you, I'll know that scripture when you hear it. Now, what did the Old Testament say? And what did we say about the Old Testament? The Old Testament is the New Testament unfolded, and the New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded. Look at what 1 Peter 2 and 9 tells us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know what I'm saying? A kingdom of priests, right? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We are to reflect him. Bless the one who has called us out of the darkness, out of the wilderness. Because again, darkness does not necessarily mean sin. Darkness is when we are disconnected from God. And sin is not the only thing that disconnects us from God. I discovered when people die and we're mourning, that period of mourning, we feel disconnected with God. Yes, we know there's a God, but our sorrows have us feeling disconnected. Why? Because it's hard to hear the word of God when you're going through. Y'all don't want to believe that. I've experienced it, y'all. You know, but I've got enough confidence to be real with you today. Life has, something's happened to me as a preacher that has shaken my faith, that has made me say, God, are you sure I'm supposed to be doing this? Are you sure this is the road I'm supposed to go down? And every time I look around, it's this, that, and that. I'm not trying to hear that at the moment. I don't want to hear that right there. We can make it to a full night. I don't want to hear that right now. All things work together for the good. I don't want to hear that right now. The fact that I can't hear it. I hear you, but you are going to be the vehicle that connects somebody with me. Even right now, especially right now. Because that's what I learned. When it seems darkest, that's when I'm connected to God the most. I have him, but because he has me. I want to close with this. Let's go to First Peter chapter 5. May all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So, what I'm learning is that during my trials, during my struggles, those moments I realize just how frail I really am. And that's when I come to God, when I'm most vulnerable. And his response is this. Cast all your care upon me. So when God says, I was that eagle that carried you, so God says, if you have a problem, bring it to me and cast it upon me. Just like he said, the eagle bird did when you was a baby. That regardless of how big of a baby you were, the eagle was able to carry you on her back. And a lot of us have been some big old babies. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. And regardless of how big of a baby we were, God still carried us to show us you got nothing to worry about. So when you experience worry, God says, you and your worry, bring it to me. And hop on and he will carry us. This is where I struggled this week. I was looking in the Bible for where it says, he will never put more on you than you're able to bear. That's what I've been struggling with this week. I can't find it. If you can find it, you will lie. It is not in there. Because God says, why am I telling you to carry a burden that I told you to bring to me? So he won't ever put more on you than you're able to bear. That's because the real reality is he never puts more on us than he's able to bear. Sing a song back in the old church. Savior, to help me. Comfort, strengthen, and keep me. He is willing to aid you. He will what? Carry. All your cares upon him. Why? He really don't care what you're going through because he knows he can bring you through. He just cares about you. He cares about how you feel. And when you are worried about stuff you have no business worrying about, he cares. But at the same time, he reminds us that's what we are asked to do. So the Bible, I hope this is a blessing to us. Even when it talks about him carrying to us to himself, it talked about earlier, so I said, one of the things that he missed was deliverance and how he brought us back to a man, back to a relationship with himself. So I want to share you this. When you see the cross, instead of seeing two pieces of wood connected together, you ought to see those evil ones. Our burden was sin. And the Bible says that Jesus bore all of our sin. So that cross represents us, our burden, our sin. And the Bible says he carried that cross on his back as he marched up that hill, and they lifted him up, and that's where they messed up because they allowed him to hover over his face. Y'all don't believe that. If I be lifted up from here, come here, baby. Is that all right? I want us to understand, he has us kept. He has been carrying us this whole time. Anything we need, anything we want, anything we should desire, we should understand that God has already promised us that he loves us and that he cares for us. And that because he loves us and cares for us, he says, whatever you care about is important to me. Bring it to me. Cast your cares upon me. But he was willing to give your darling son for us. Now you say that you loved us so much that you allowed your son to die. And God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We thank you for reconciling us, redeeming us, bringing us back to it, and they honor you and glorify you and give you the praise you deserve, because we don't want to be the strange God taking credit for what you've done in our life. We realize, God, it was you and you alone. So with that, we're saying thank you and we bless you. We want to take this opportunity, God, to bless the gifts that have been received. We pray you consecrate them now in the name of Jesus, and we all say amen. Amen. All right. Was that all right this morning? Amen. As we get ready for our communion, I want us to go ahead, meditate a song. Help us to understand that God has been carrying us all this time. Body, this is bruised for us, and we thank you for this cup, and we thank you for my blood. Thank you.